So let's go through all this, but let's go in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the Spirit that you so richly given us because upon your resurrection, our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree at the end of today's meeting that saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. So if you have your Bibles, look at John 3:16. John chapter 3, verse 16. Are you there? So, are you in John 3:16?
Yeah.
Look at what it says. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Now, so who does God love in John 3:16?
The world.
The world. Right? And who did God give his only begotten Son for?
The
world. Is it Christians alone?
No.
The world. So it means that by default, the love of God is a love that is demonstrated towards the entire world. Come together. So it means that we must pay attention to what the love of God is, since it is not entirely something that was done for us only. Look at Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5. Are you there? Have you got it?
Okay.
Let's read Romans 5 together. Verse 5. 1, 2, 3, go. And hope.
Make it.
Are we together? Romans 5, 5.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, go.
And hope,
make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now look at verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will even dare to die. Look at verse 8. 1, 2, 3, go. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through what? Him. Let's read verse 10 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved
by his life.
Now, so when did God die for mankind? When we were what? Enemies. Are we together? When we were what? So how else can you say enemies? We were sinners. Are we together? Right? Now, the question becomes, who is a sinner in the context of God's love? A sinner in the context of God's love is not only, right, the person who is sinning. However, fundamentally, will be somebody who has not believed the sacrifice of his love. Altogether, right? So, God is a supernatural being. God is a God that is supernatural, all-knowing, all-potent, all whatever you want to call it. Right? And in the real sense, his love is a template and an example for the believer, for the saints. Are we together? Now, you see, God is not that God that, we hear some people say some very interesting things. You know, in the real sense, logically speaking, it makes sense to say as a believer, when somebody wants to harm you, God will destroy the person. Why? Because you are his what? His child, his most prized possession. But if you take it a step back, what is God's plan for humanity? Look at Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Are you there? So he says, as I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for what?
All
men. So this is, so Paul is saying that, I exhort, therefore, that supplication and prayer, intercession should be made for all men. for kings and for all thy authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now look at the state carefully. For this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Are we together? Look at verse 6 carefully. Let's look at 5 and 6. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What did he do in verse 6? Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in what? Due time. So the ransom of Jesus to humanity, is it for only Christians? No. So what is God's will for humanity? That all men be saved and what? Come to the knowledge of his truth. Now, let me now say this carefully, right? All men will not come to the knowledge of his salvation and his truth at the same time. Did you get that? All men will not come into salvation at the same time. For some, it will be quick. For some, it will be fast. For some, they might be fortunate to be born into a family that is full of Christians and they preach to them and they get saved. For some, they might never be born into a Christian environment. But God's will for them is that God wants them saved. So, you know, it's interesting when I hear people teach about the God of love of God in very mysterious ways. One of the easiest ways to think about it is that, now that God is for us, when we pray for God's preservation, at any cost, God will destroy every and anybody just to preserve his children. But we once said, you know, the people that he wants to destroy, let's assume he wants to destroy them because you are his child, you were once in their camp. Is that true? Because he said, whilst we're yet without strength, we're enemies. Right? So don't think about the level of the physical sin they are doing in regards to lying, stealing, and all the different cadres you will call sin. But think about the fact that they were not in the vineyard of God. And the way they are not in the vineyard of God today is the way you were before you got saved. So if God answered that prayer before you got saved, where will you be? Look at Ephesians 5. I feel sometimes it will be safe for believers to, you know, leave their thinking cap on when we say certain things. Very safe. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. You see, when you begin to project a God who can decide to undo and do what is will, you will be able to successfully say a believer should what? Be like that. Do you understand? You see, you can't teach of a God who in the real sense can do and undo and tell a believer, don't be a doer and undoer. Do you get that? To teach that and to enforce that is to subconsciously teach that you can be a better love worker than God. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Are you here? So, we teach of a God, some of us, very interesting people. We teach of a God who, because we are his child, he will destroy everybody that comes to your way. Because you are his child. Forgetting you were once not his child. Forgetting that when you were once not his child, even now that you are his child, you are still offending people. HR. You know the people that have been praying about you. So let's assume God answered their prayer before you got saved. So, we are saying, because who is on the Lord's side? I am on the Lord's side. Who is on the Lord's side? So, because you are on the Lord's side, God goes ahead of you and destroys everybody that was. But you know, you cannot take that successfully looking at the lives of the disciples and how they died. What we call perseverance today, we can't teach it from the book of Acts and the epistles. We can't teach it. Because if what we call perseverance, preservation today was how they were preserved all through till the number of years they lived. They shouldn't have died at the age they died and the way they died. Are we together? You see, Jesus is the expression of God to humanity. So it means that when God finds himself in the midst of the hatred of men, God submits himself out of love for man. Are we together? No, we have a couple of brothers who pray prayer points like, every satanic power, every demonic power, what are you living for? So my soul, catch fire and die. And you know what they now say at the end? In the name of what? Jesus. But some people don't even stay with Jesus again. They go into the Hebrew name. Yeshua, how do they say it again? Yeshua, Amashiach. The lion of what?
Judah.
Hamino said in that one. No? I did not reach there. I stopped where I stopped. Don't push yourself. Are we together? Right? So a lot of us think that our God is a double-sided God. Right? He is the Prince of Peace, yet he is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Right? So when people want to come close to God's children, he will just turn his face and just, better go back. Mm-hmm. Know your boundary. Are we together? Mm-hmm. Not together. Right? You see, if you go through the scriptures, especially with Jesus and the apostles and how they were preserved, you will see not one example where it was by God destroying people. Mm-hmm. For starters, let's start with that first. For starters, look at Ephesians 5. Look at Ephesians 5. Be therefore followers of God. The word there, followers of God, there means mimicker. Somebody who mimics, to imitate. You know what it means to imitate? Mm-hmm. To be a mimicker. So it means there is nothing wrong with being a mimicker as a believer. Copy and paste. As long as you are copying and pasting the right thing. So the Christian faith is a copy and paste faith. Who are we copying and pasting? God. So this Paul is saying, copy and paste God as their children and walk in love. And he's now teaching that God can undo and do. Do you understand? God can, out of self-defense, undo and do. So if that is the case, it means that we should not forgive people because we can choose when to forgive and when not to forgive. After all, our Father is like that. If your knowledge about God is tainted, if your knowledge about God is dented, it will reflect in your response to humanity. Paul will say, be ye therefore mimickers. He says, be ye therefore copy and pasters of God as their children. Why did he call you their children? Because you have his DNA in you. What's his DNA in you? His life, his blood, his spirit. He says, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God for his sweet smelling savour. So Christ himself gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice. At what point of our lives was that? When we were what? Sinners. Romans 5. When we were what? Enemies. When we were what? The ungodly, without what? Strength. So what did you do with God's love? You responded to God's love by what? Coming to receive of his love. Are you following me? So Paul will say, so if you go back to chapter 4, chapter 4 verse 31, remember, he is telling you be followers of God upon account of the things he said you should stay away from in verse 31 and 32. Look at Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. So it means that if you should put it away from you, it is because you cannot copy it from God and paste it. Are we together?
Yeah.
So it means that if you try to control V by looking at God, you will not be able to control V, control C rather. Right? You'll not be able to control C. Let me say it better. Copy. So, let me not go and do the one that passes. Control, copy. Right? Right click, drop down list, copy. Right? So it means when you try to copy from the hard drive of God, you will not see anger. You will not see wrath. So it means if for any reason you paste it somewhere, you didn't copy it from God.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So instead of you say, be ye therefore followers, that means be mimickers, be imitators of God. For God is the template of love for humanity. Except the Bible doesn't teach put bitterness away. Except the Bible doesn't teach put anger away. Except the Bible doesn't teach put wrath away. But if the Bible puts it, you are only expected to do it to the degree in which you know God can do it. So if you look into his template, you see what you can do. You know, how many of you copied assignments when you were growing up? Right? I did. I was together. The glory of God. That's heavy to say, but I did though. I wasn't that serious. Right? I did. Right? So, you know how when you copy something and make it your own, when I copy you. Let them not mark my own before you. Because they will tell you you copied me. You know, there's a way you copy and make it your own. There's a guy, one very interesting guy. This guy copied some. I'm not joking. Some of like, yeah. This guy copied somebody, including the person's matric number. He copied. Yeah. How I found out was when I was sorting out the script, right? I just saw that same matric number, two different names. Same matric number, different names. I said, hey, people have mind. But you know that really that is the way we are supposed to blind copy God. Because you are rest assured of his templates. So it means anything you copy from him is correct. So if Paul says, do not paste bitterness, do not paste anger, it means you can't copy it from God. That's what we difficult to see, right? Mm-hmm. Look at that again. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He says, be ye kind one to another. So the kindness of God to one another or to mankind is saying that God loves humanity. So you are in Ephesians 4. Look at Matthew 5. Matthew 5:39. He says, but I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn him the other also. What does that mean? If somebody slaps you, what do you do? You turn the other face, say, please help me continue. You know, there's a way they can slap you, your face will just turn and be like that. And you just, so you don't have energy to even turn the face of the other person. You have to do your body like this. slap this one back. Yeah, is that not what Jesus is teaching? Jesus is not teaching that if somebody slaps you. No. He can't be teaching, right, that if somebody cuts one of your hands, give them the other one. That's love. That's not love work. That's not what he's teaching here. Are we together? Now, what he is teaching really is summarized as ensure that you resolve it quickly. Are we together? Does that link to Ephesians 4 when it says, be followers of God? Ephesians 5. Mm-hmm. Right? And be kind one to another. So it means that when man does evil to you, man should meet kindness from you. Mm-hmm. Are we here?
Yeah.
When man does something terrible to you, man should meet kindness from you. Any other thing outside of that, you didn't copy it from God. However, you pasted it somewhere. So it means you copied it from somewhere else. You know it's not only from God you can copy. You know the social media world, for instance, influences the things we copy. You see, some of us actually think we are way stronger than, we are so strong that we cannot allow certain influences to overtake us. We're not that strong. If you submit yourself in the middle of people who steal for a long time, sooner or later you'll be a good thief. If you submit yourself to the middle of people who lie a lot, sooner or later, you'll be a very good liar. Are we together? Right? So, it means that man can copy from several. That means there are several templates on the earth by default. However, there is one to copy. And if you want to copy, so we know what you copied by what you pasted. Are we together? Right? You can't, see, no matter what document you copy a file from, or whatever you copy, wherever you copy anything from, you cannot paste something else that you did not copy. So when we see what you pasted, so it's just like saying, I'm pasting this thing in this folder. I'm seeing Joshua. What I copied was Yusuf. When we see what you pasted, we know what you copied. It's simple. Right? So he says, look at the next verse. He says, and if any man will seal thee at the law and take it away, like, well, let him have thy cloth also. That is resolved also. He's not saying when somebody steals your face cap, say, come and take my iPad. No. Right? He says, look for methods to make sure you resolve quickly. Look at verse 44, please. Let's look at verse 4 together. Look at verse 43. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love your neighbor and hate thy enemy. Who is talking here?
Jesus.
Look at verse 44. He says, so it means loving your neighbor and hating your enemy is a template you can copy from looking at man. Mm-hmm. Right? What did Jesus say? He says, but I say unto you, when Jesus talks, every other template you can copy is insignificant. He says, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that what? Hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Do you need to mix this up? Mind you, if Jesus says, pray for them that persecute you, and pray for them that despitefully use you, has he given you an example to copy?
Yes.
So what he's asking you to paste, is this something you can see in him and copy?
Yes.
Romans 5, while you were yet without strength, while you were yet the ungodly, while you were yet the enemy of God, he died for you. So if Jesus says love your enemy, he's not saying love your enemy because he wants you to be better than him. He's saying love your enemy because he is an enemy loving God. Are we here? So God by default is an enemy loving God. If your knowledge about that changes, there is nothing about love work expected from you. You can't teach a God that kills his enemies and expect to teach that believers should love him, walk in love. You cannot. You can't. Because where would the believer be able to see a godly example to love enemy, if not by looking at God, the loving, enemy loving God? So, to say a believer should love his enemy without God loving his enemy is to successfully say that a believer or a man can be a better lover than God. So, means when we are singing, oh, the overwhelming, reckless, everything, you get the point. The love of God has overwhelmed me. You're supposed to say that man actually has a better overwhelming love like than the love of God. You see, the implications of the things we say are gross. All together. They're gross. So, he says, love your enemies. He says, bless them that curse you. So, when somebody curses you, what do you say? What do? You bless them. Right? Don't be that person when you are insulted or when something terrible or someone says anything, it shall not be well with you tomorrow. It shall not be well with you. You see, the reason why it's paining you more is because you believe the person. Did you get that? If somebody says you will never be successful, the only reason why it choke you, you know what the word choke? The reason why it's paining you is because you see that person as a prophet. Are we together? You see, there are some things they will say to you. You say, oh, really? Okay. Thank you. And you move. In June, what have you said? You've discarded. But you know the moment you say, God forbid, over my... The moment you are saying, over my... Obviously, you are putting in more energy to keep believing it. Small thing that you did application visa, job application the next week, they rejected you. It's like what he said is working. Is it working? Are we together? So, in the real sense... He says, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Look at verse 45. That you may be what? The children of your Father, which is where? In heaven. Is that the same as Ephesians 5? Be followers of God as their children and walk in love even as Christ died.
Yeah.
So, being an example is what is worthy to see when we look at Jesus. So, he says, so what does God do in verse 45? He maketh his sun to rise on the evil, then he puts darkness on the good. Or he maketh his sun to not shine on the evil, but shine on the good. Is that your Bible?
No.
He says, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So when God brings forth rain for humanity, who receives of humanity of God's rain?
Just
good, bad. The unjust, the just, the good, the evil. So God doesn't respond to man based on what man brings to the table. So look at this. So man brings hatred to the table. God consumes man's hatred with his love. That's why we call it overwhelming love. All together. God doesn't meet man with what man brings. Are we here? God doesn't meet man with what man brings, else God is a man. Man made man. Look at what he says in verse 46. He has already told you, be children of the Father. He now says, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even publicans do so? What did he now say in verse 48? Be ye therefore perfect. So what is the perfection he has explained earlier on? He has explained a perfect God that gives rain to the good and bad. that gives son to the just and the unjust. So what is he saying? Being therefore as perfect. So it means when you see God, there is something you can copy called perfection. And you can paste it. What would that be? You do good to man, whether they do good or bad to you. So you respond to man's evil with good by copying God. That's why it's very interesting when you start seeing believers have a list of people that are their enemies. Have a list of people that are their enemies. And this now fits into the very porous approach of deliberate friendship. You know, I've said this before. Let me say that. I've not said it in the UK before. Let me say this today. You see, the day I find out, or the day you find out, there's somebody I'm not talking to, I'm not greeting, I'm not saying hello to, right? And you decide to not talk to that person, just because I'm not talking to that person, you are walking in the flesh. Do you get that? The day as your pastor, you find out there's somebody that I am not speaking to, no matter what the issue is. And just because I am not speaking to that person, you now decide. What I mean by decide, you see the person talking, you walk away, you face away because it's not talking to your pastor. You are walking in the flesh, including your pastor. Me. There's this very uncultured form of allegiance we are teaching as Christians, which is very ridiculous. You see, when it comes to the body of Christ, you must be able to understand that it's not a me against them conversation. Are we here? Don't be the one always speak-nosing and prognosing and seeing what somebody is not doing well as a church. Are we here?
Yes,
don't be that person who always has 520 billion things to say about a church. Look at them. Sporting. They are bringing committee. Bringing drama. Well, it's not necessarily in your place to be saying all of those things. You know, there are some things that are bigger than some of us. You know now. There are some things that are bigger than me. Same way, there are some things that are bigger than you. There are some things none of you here can correct. Only me. And there are some things you all can correct. Including me. How together? See, don't be among those people who have this me against them fight. Me against them fight. Me against them fight. Oh, they are growing faster than us. We are growing faster than them. No, that's not your business. What has God called you to do? Do what He has called you to do and stay there. When you stop talking to someone, just because the person was your friend, but because I stopped talking to the person, you stop talking to the person, you are walking in the flesh. No better way to say that. Go together. So all those very interesting, ridiculous teachings of my friend's enemy is my enemy. Now, who did Jesus say you should love? Your enemy. If you were to have an order of enemy, let's say you were that canal, and you had a list of several enemies, right? And among the list of your enemies includes your enemy, my enemy, our enemy. Whose enemy is number one? Mm-hmm. Your own now. What am I saying? Let's say I have a list of enemies. Mm-hmm. The highest enemy to me is my own enemy. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Every other person that is my friend and their enemy, they're number two and three downwards. So God has told you what to do with number one. In seeing what to do with number one, you know what to do with number two downwards.
Yeah.
Is it hard? It's not hard. You see, I would be happier when I see believers actually come up to me and say, Pastor, I know that what I'm doing is fleshly, it's ungodly. But Pastor, I agree I've not grown. Than to try to explain that it's godly. You know what I'm trying to say? See, if you meet me today and say, if you meet somebody today and say, I'm not talking to that person because your pastor is not talking to the person. I'll be happier to hear that say, see, I'm not grown to all you people's love level. Like, say it's clear. You people's love level is high. I'm not grown there. But to be saying, I am correct in hating somebody because somebody I like hates the person. See, there's a difference between somebody hurts somebody and the person is trying to stay away. There's a difference between you going to, every day you're going to be asked to go and greet the person. Right? And you just meet in the middle of the road, randomly. and you just, you don't go to their house, they didn't come to your house. You just decide to say, you carry your face away. You do like you've not seen them. No, there's nothing, there's no other name to call it than what? Carnality. Jesus has given us a template of what love is. See, you have to tear Romans 5 out of your Bible to teach any other love or teach an otherwise love. It says, when you were yet enemies, Christ died for you. You were without strength. How are we together? He says, love your enemies. Be therefore perfect. So the love that God exhibits on the cross is a love that is called perfect love. So we say the wooden love. We talk about the love that comes from God himself by submitting himself to the hatred of man. To teach that love work is not something man should do as a believer is to successfully say that the people who killed Jesus will never be saved. Are we together? You know, the last person that nailed his hand, if after the resurrection he believes in the resurrection, he's your brother. Mm-hmm. We're together. He's your brother. Jesus tells you, love your enemies. He's not expecting you to see a template from out of the blues. So Jesus is saying, see my template. I love enemies. I'm an enemy-loving God. You do sin. Look at Acts 7. Let me show you something in Acts 7. Okay. So I touched this a little on Wednesday. Are you in Acts 7? You know, I was teaching on look at Acts 8. In Acts 8. Look at, and Saul was concerned. Now, who is Saul? Paul. Who is Saul?
Paul.
His Paul name was what?
So.
Okay, followed me on Wednesday. Interesting, right? Yeah, so I thought on Wednesday that Paul's name was never changed from Saul. You know, when God meets you, he changes your name. See, the name Abraham, God, his name was Abraham. Then God breaks into it, you know, say, Ham. See, and that's why I see a lot of people, they think that Christianity is about changing your name, your former son name. Mm-hmm. I was together. Your name was Ifato Nibo. You know what Ifato is saying? Ifa means the God of Israel. You are still working for Ogunto. You are still working for somebody who has the name that has made Israel. It's not by changing your name. If you want to change your name is good. But don't use Paul's experience to say, when he was persecuted, he was Saul. Yeah. But when he met God, God said he moved the S. Make it be. For P is for preaching. Hallelujah. So the S is for slaughter. And now, S for slaughter, P for preaching. Yeah. So God makes people preach nonsense. See, God takes you from the pit and makes you bad. I know that. Preach, preacher. You see, and a lot of times, it is that preacher that validates the error that is spoken.
Yeah.
Let me tell you for free, in case you don't know. When you are preaching, somebody is saying, preach, preacher, it makes your head swell.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a very high level of humility to come back afterwards to say, what I said before was nonsense.
Yeah.
Why? Because you know, people will start observing you. If that thing you said before was nonsense, what will you say tomorrow? Before you come next tomorrow and say what you said yesterday. Do you understand? That's why when you see people always talking, always shouting, when the word is taught, they're not following. Mm. Yeah, not for that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is it funny? Is it funny? I was together. What is it? Don't be that student that is known for always talking when the word is taught. Listen. When you see somebody trying to always help you complete your statement, you're not for that. He came to church that day. right, or they came to whatever day it is, right, to preach what they actually as their message. So that I think you took it inside your own, right? You see, I know when someone is, now we know people have learned the art. You know, you can look at somebody and doing like this. I used to, I'm not listening. It's not the quietness that makes you listen. The people, I've been preaching one day, and I one brother was just sitting beside me, and he was just in front of me, right? And he was just writing. I said, he must have been well taught from where he's coming from. I moved close, because in Nigerian church, I move around because I'm not interested to camera like this, right? I saw one page. I thought I had to write. I just saw Isaiah 52. Next to the now drew one line beside the road to Pepe. Pepe. So I thought it was something very strange. He underlined it the next time I saw the underlining. For and then I decided what I was seeing was tomato. So he was, while I was teaching, he was groaning in the place of market, trying to write the things he wants to buy after church. And he was listening to me and with his writing by the Bible. Thank God God is loving. I was together. So really, no matter what, let that attitude of always writing things when you are being taught, when you are saying, when you are going and learning. I remember one day I was in the church. This was probably 2015, 2016. And the man in front, he said one very ridiculous thing. And the lady beside me just jumped up and said, "Preach, preacher! Tell them at the back!" And I was like, what an energy. Right? I know what I just did. When she finished doing her razzmatazz, and she sat down, I said, "Please, can you tell me what to say? I want to write it down." She did not even remember one word. Altogether. You see, happy are you when you're in a sound church, when the word is being taught, you are taking notes. Don't think you are that smart to capture everything that is being said. No, it's not always that easy. Altogether. So don't always be that person who is, don't be that person who listens to me without writing it. And don't be that person who listens to me and they only write the scripture I'm saying. Isaiah 1. You will not write anything again until Philippians 3. How did he lead? You don't know. But you know you took notes in church. Right? So there's some things you write. I think there's a teaching I did online in the last few months about how to take notes in church. Right? Very important. Anyways, so you see that Paul, his name was Paul and was Saul, different language. But look what I want you to see very carefully. Look at verse 59. Acts 7:59. So it's just going to be the previous verse. Acts 7:59 into chapter 8. So Acts 7:59 says, "And they stoned Stephen." Who was Stephen? A preacher of the word. Can you say Stephen was a word man? What did they do to him? They stoned him. Were there other times that they were going to stone some disciples or kill them that they were able to escape? Yeah. You know, in the Bible where Paul would say, where God would tell some of his disciples, "Carry your load and run."
Yeah.
You know, you won't see an example of a loving God. So, does God love Paul?
Yeah.
Did God love Stephen when they were stoning him?
Yeah.
What do you think the fastest way of escape for Stephen was? Run. Right? Are we together? Right? You see, let me not go to what I want to say today. They stoned Stephen. Now call upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Let's go back to verse 54. When they heard this thing, they were caught to their heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. So there's one accord in the Christian faith, and there's one accord in the enemy's camp.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it means to stone somebody with one accord? That means we are deciding to stone you in one faith.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what Stephen's reply was? "And they cast him out of the city, and they still stoned him, and they stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the young man's feet," whose name was what? Saul. So what was Stephen doing when they were stoning him? He kept preaching. Where do you think Paul probably first heard the message of the gospel? when he was consenting to the stoning of Stephen. So Paul was, now they were stoning Stephen. They said, Jesus is alive. They stoned another. They said, he is alive. They gave him another. As in fact, they stoned him as was until he lost everything. What did Stephen say? What did Stephen say? And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. Now look at verse 60. And Stephen knelt down. Is that true?
Yeah.
And he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.
Yeah.
And when he had said this, he fell asleep. They persecuted him to death. And his last words was, do not lay this. What do you think? So is that a pasting?
Yeah.
Where did he copy it from?
Jesus.
Do you understand? You cannot expect it to, as they are telling me, pick his own, throw it back. This is not what he was doing. Right? And you cannot as well say that God does not preserve. God does preserve. But the preservation of God might not always go as you planned. You think it's every time you want to be preserved, quickly you disappear. You see, there's sometimes that in the real sense, oh my goodness, let's not get into this topic this morning. What did Stephen do? He said, now, where do you think he learned it from? What did he do to Jesus? They nailed him, they beat him, they flogged him, they did everything to him. He says what? Jesus says, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. That's not true. If I was there, probably I would have said, Jesus, just enjoy your cross and be good. No. Don't act, they don't know what they are doing. These people, they don't know what they are doing. They know. But Jesus says, he says, they don't know what they are doing. That's as equal to what Stephen says. Lay not the sin against them. What a heart. So now say Stephen can do it, but God cannot do it. Stephen is a better God. I'd rather serve Stephen. Do you understand? They are stoning Stephen. Stephen says, forgive them. God is that. So it means that Paul should not even say, be ye their followers of God. He's supposed to say, be ye their followers of what? Stephen. Because what did he say he should stop doing? Bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking. He says, put it away from you. So who is an example of someone who put it away from him? Stephen. So Paul was supposed to say, be ye their followers of Stephen. As he was stoned, he still said, forgive them. Meanwhile, Stephen also learned that from God, the enemy loving God. What a heart. Go together. And guess what? The brother Paul, who you rarely can talk about the scriptures, the New Testament scripture, without calling Paul, like he's your mate, was a man who was, the Bible says they laid their clothes at his feet. Look at it now, chapter 8, in case you missed it. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. So what do you think was the preservating power how do you see the preservation power of God in Acts 8:1? They scattered abroad. Are we together?
Yeah.
Are we together? Are there supernatural deliverances? Yes, so. But happy are you when you realize that it is not every time it might be like that. Did you get that? Did you get that? There are supernatural deliverances. We have the ministry of angels. We have the ministry of, we have God preserving men. Well, happy are you when you find out that this earth is subject to the wickedness in the heart of man. Are we here? What is expected no matter what man brings your way? Love. Stephen says, do not lay this sin against them. Jesus says, they don't know what they are doing. These are people who, they were in their full regalia and understanding. But God has a plan. Are we here? Thank God for the knowledge of Stephen that made him to keep preaching in the midst of persecution. Some of you, your boss gave you bad feedback. His church that worked that will not, who God help. Yeah, some of you, when things that are not too good happen to you, nothing else suffers apart from church, apart from the brethren. Nothing else. Why are you not coming? Why did you come? But you've been eating, you've been going everywhere, you've been going to the gym. Are we together? Happy are you when you are like Brother Stephen? To know that in the midst of thick persecution, he kept the words of the message of the gospel on his lips. And he kept preaching it. Very, very, very stubborn, die-hard heart. He says, God doesn't live in temples made with hands, as your fathers had said. That's when he preached that message, in the middle of thick persecution. Then our brother Saul will listen to him. And Saul will now have an encounter on his way to Damascus. And there will be an aligning with what he had initially heard. And Paul will get saved. You see, if there's nothing else in this world that should make you believe that God is an enemy-loving God, let's assume you don't think of yourself as somebody who does bad things. Think of the brother Paul, who was once a consentor, in that word, to the killing of apostles. Yet, you see, Peter will still say, I have read all of Brother Paul's epistles, and his conclusion is that the long-suffering of God is what? Salvation. Guess what? Peter, when Paul was still looking for who to stone and kill and consent and carry letter to kill people, Peter had already won his first 3,000 souls. But guess what? Galatians 2, Paul tells you, Peter was in the wrong, and what happened? Paul scolded him. I thought that from Wednesday, right? Paul scolded him. Paul said Peter was, what was Peter in the wrong about? Peter still had a demarcation in his heart that God did not come for all flesh. Brother Peter, who Jesus said, feed my sheep. Then the brother Paul. So you see, Peter did not wake up and say, who is this one that's holding me? Wait, oh, is it my eye that is spinning me? Paul. Tell me how many souls you've won. You see, before your father's father was born, I've been winning souls. Can you preach for 3,000 men to visit? So Peter did not bring down his what? His CV. What happened? He adjusted with a heart, humility, and received the word and the scolding from Paul. Let me say something to you carefully. Imagine God was a God that destroyed enemies and he killed Paul and everybody that was trying to stone steal him. Who will say Ephesians today? Who will say Galatians today? Who will say Titus tomorrow? Who will say Timothy tomorrow? Who will call those names? God is a very, very beautiful God. There might have been another person. But you know, you can't always think of what life will be without somebody else. You can't have an accurate knowledge of what it will be. Eh? Before I met you, I was in a coma. Before I met you, I was the one that had the oxygen in my bridge. Right? Without you, I was in existence. You can't always have an accurate knowledge of what life would have been if you made a different decision. Thank God, God is not the one that destroys. Just to make a name. Right? Just because I want people to know that he now calls one angel. He might get one intervene and he just put his hand on the floor, bro. And everybody just start fly like bomb. The only thing will be inside cage. Even Paul. If nothing else works on your mind, let the story of the conversion of Paul work on your mind.